Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy in here with you tonight with the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We welcome you into the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Call a friend tonight and tell them that we're on the air live on WCR 507 around the world with the Jewel of the South. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to entitle our message, A Divided House with a Hope of Reuniting. A Divided House with a Hope of Reuniting. Now, what do we mean by that? What is a divided house? Well, the Bible says that a divided house will not stand. Well, we know that. That a house divided, it cannot stand. But you see, by the pre-positioning of the plan of the Heavenly Father to divide the kingdom of Israel, a lot of people don't understand that there's two houses when we talk about Israel. Now, that's the 10 northern tribes called the House of Ephraim, the southern tribe of the House of Judah, and the House of Benjamin. Now, why Benjamin? Well, simply because once upon a time in the history of original Israel, the House of Benjamin began to sin, and the brothers of the northern tribes warred against them and would have killed them all for their sins. It was a punishment, ladies and gentlemen, for the sins of Benjamin. But for the intervention of Judah on Benjamin's behalf, where they hid the 300 of the Benjamites, and when Israel had awakened from the slaughter of their own brothers. This is amazing. They realized that they had probably destroyed all of the house of Benjamin, their youngest son from Jacob's issue. Well, it just so happened that 300 of the Benjamites hid in a cave and were rescued. These were adopted back into the family, and they settled, since they were already between Judah and Ephraim, as the buffer between the two largest houses, or the most powerful. Then Benjamin was incorporated, basically, for all practical purposes, into the house of Judah, a Yahuta in the Hebrew. Well, we find that in the kingdom of David, David the king ruled over both houses. At this time, the houses had not split. But we find after the rule of David's son, Solomon done wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, loved many strange women and won a whoring, and the father threatened to take the kingdom from Solomon. and wring it out of his hand. But he said, since that I have sworn to your father David, I will refrain as long as you live from doing so. Well, when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took the kingdom. And then the 10 northern tribes of the house of Israel rebelled from the kingship. Now, a lot of people think that David was a king over Judah and Judah only. That's not true. David was a king of all of the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. And so was Solomon. The only division came about after the death of Solomon and the promise of Yahweh to rend the kingdom out of the bloodline of David came to pass when the 10 northern tribes rebelled. Now, we're going to pick up the story of the journey of the house of Israel. We're going to talk about future prophecies. How long would this punishment of a divided house be imposed upon the house of Israel and the house of Judah? Now they become, as it is stated in the scripture, they shall become two sticks. Now, by becoming two sticks in the hand of Yahweh, then Yahweh's purposes for the intention, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to amaze you, but for the prophetic prophecies that God swore unto Abraham, it was for this cause that God Almighty had to scatter the holy people. Well, these two houses and these two nations, God has commanded them to bring about the prophecies that he prophesied to Abraham, that he would make his seed as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. How did it fulfill in us, Pastor Buddy? Because when the Father made a promise, he knew that the little place in Israel at that time, now known as Palestine, where all of the trouble, where all of the burdensome Jerusalem is going on today, we find that Israel has long since departed. Now, we're talking about the 10 northern tribes. When did they depart from the land, Pastor Buddy? When was Israel and Judah separated? Well, we find that history also bears this out, that they were separated in 721 B.C. 721 B.C. Now, why? This prophecy came on God's promise that he would remove the roots of the Hebrew, tear down their communities, and move them to another nation or to other nations. When it talks about the Strong's number 1482 in the Greek language, it's talking about nations, but it's always, most always, translated as Gentiles when it should be nations. Now, if you look at these two sticks that have bonded together, of a prophetic promise, you see these two sticks have not re-bonded together. Will they in the future? Yes, they will. How do you know, Pastor Bud? Because the Bible says so in Ezekiel chapter 37. It is mentioned that these two sticks will come together in the last days. Are we nearing the time for this to happen? Judah and Ephraim illustrates the bonding of both the house of Judah and the house of the northern 10 tribes to bond back the principle of oneness and unity. And when this happens, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a marvelous light shine in the face of the people of Jacob Israel. Now, how is that going to happen, Pastor Buddy? Well, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. In part. Now, if the same power that blinded the children of Israel, that's the 10 northern tribes, remember, they're going to lose their identity. They're going to lose the God that their fathers called on. They're going to forget him. And they're going to go and be scattered among the heathen. This is partly for punishment as well as for fulfillment of the prophecy. There was no way that God could fulfill his promise to Abraham in the geographical, small, confined area of the desert area of Israel. It was impossible. Little alone could it hold probably five tribes, let alone seven more. That area could not hold the nation of the United States, where the nation of the United States of America, 48 original states with 13 original colonies that later became the 48 states. So both 13 is symbolic. 48 is revelated. That's 2 times 24, and it's 4 times 12, and 12 is perfect government. So the United States of America has embedded within the name of Jerusalem, USA, right in the center. So God had a plan, a distant country that he called a wilderness. Now, why in the world, anybody that looked at the United States today couldn't describe it and classify it as a wilderness? And that is true. But when the pilgrims seeking religious freedom from the house of Manasseh, and a lot of people believe that America is Manasseh, the British Israelite doctrine prescribes just opposite of what Pastor Buddy said, but I take issue with their doctrine. That doctrine is incorrect when they place America as Manasseh and Great Britain as Ephraim. It's not true. You see, the British Isles was inhabited early on by the migration of the Israelite children as they crossed the Caucasus Mountains and came up and settled throughout the regions of eastern, western, northern Scandinavian countries, plumb on up into the House of Dan, going to Denmark, because they abode in ships and they sailed in an adventurous spirit. Not only there, but to America pre-BC, the sons of Dan. They came and they brought precious treasures from the land across the sea. The wilderness country where they came in, and we have evidence that the ancient Israelites mined and they gathered the treasures of this great vast wealth of country. And they carried them even back in the days of Solomon, the gold from Ophir. Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery and the intrigue, but the evidence bears my statement that we have archaeology. This is usually a well-kept secret. If it was any other people other than the sons of Jacob, the Aryan Israelite people that came in here early on and established this great nation and carved out a civilization in this wilderness, marvels. It became the most perilous nation, just like the prophecy of Ephraim was given from the lips of the great prophet Jacob Israel, as he gave the prophecy that Ephraim would be great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that prophecy was fulfilled in the land of America. Everything we have supplied, we have pushed our enemies to the ends of the earth. All of the prophetic prophecies of Genesis chapter 49 is fulfilled in America, as Ephraim, with Great Britain serving as the older brother. It was established first as Manasseh was the older, and then Manasseh began as the British Empire, sons of Ish. The word Brit means covenant in Hebrew. Ish means sons of Isaac. So the sons of Isaac, we have a unique history and heritage that most people are not aware of. We need to wake up to the heritage and history of our great people. Our great people now have forgotten from which they are hewn. It is time to return. It is time for the two sticks to be united. I'm calling tonight in the spirit as one of the servants of the Most High God that Jacob Israel now be loosed in the heavens, and that Jacob Israel's identity be revealed upon the earth. I command that in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, all-powerful name of our divine creator, Yah. Hallelujah for the great power and presence and heritage and covenants and promises to a people who have taken it lightly, who do not know the time and did not know the time of their visitation because their eyes were blinded and their foolish heart was darkened. And for a specific amount of time, and I think that most scholars would agree that the prophetic time of punishment from the time that the command was given to punish was 2,520 years from the going forth of the time of the Messiah. For this length of time, there is a purpose and there is an intention and there is a grand design that the two houses would remain separated, weakened, blind, foolish hearts darkened. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more blind than blind Israel. There's nothing more deaf than blind and deaf Israel. There's nothing more foolish than blind, deaf, foolish Israel. And I say all of that in respect to they're only obeying the punishment and the command and the purpose that God's purpose should be carried forth in a disobedient people, in an unthankful people, in an unholy people, that God could bring justly a people back to the gathering of the two sticks. Now, when this happens, and it won't be long, we just loosed the people in the heavens. Bible said, whatever you loose in the heavens will be loosed upon the earth. Whatever you bind in the heavens will be bound upon the earth, or vice versa. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have power as a people to loose and to bind. Now, long into the ancient histories of our heritage and our purposes and our covenants of the sons of Brit, or the sons of Ish, or the sons of Hysak, the Saxtons. What an impressive meaning. What an impressive beginning to end so tragically blind, dumb, and deaf. A feeble, handicapped people only because of their foolishness. Only because of the rebellion. The Bible says that rebellion is the same as witchcraft. But then the Bible also says in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, that for the prepositioned will of God, it was commanded that we be scattered into all of the nations, that we could grow into a mighty force, though blind, though dumb sheep, or as deaf, we couldn't hear the voice of the great magnanimous name of our Creator. But in the last days, when prophets are sent upon the scene to preach the gospel to everyone whose name was on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, go seeking and searching and fishing for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, for this purpose, God has sent me and my voice into the wilderness to call out, "Are you the only last day prophet?" as some cry. Of course not. There are many witnesses. Everyone that knows the true name of the Creator is a witness to the revelation fact that you have the power and the authority to proclaim, be you male or female, to proclaim the gospel to the lost, blind, deaf, dumb sheep, and recover them in the wilderness and bring them back where there'll be one fold and one shepherd with the shepherd's crook. That's why we call our ministry the Shepherd's Call. Tonight you're hearing the voice of a shepherd. You're hearing someone that's inspired and educated in the word to command the gospel to go forth with power and demonstration, where we cannot be turned from our appointed destiny and our purposes to reclaim the glory of the first kingdom. Now, this second attempt to recover the people of God long have we gone into the period of history to look back on the things that happened to them as examples, only to know that we are bound to repeat the mistakes of the past. We reap the whirlwind. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and therefore, since you reject knowledge, I will reject you, saith the Father. But ladies and gentlemen, all across the land, from mountain to mountain, from sea to shining sea, from the vales, the valleys, and as we say down here in the good old South, the hollers, Almighty God is sending his witnesses and his prophets and his teachers and is compelling them and fishing and hunting for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this intensification and desire is springing up in men and women all across America. And the world has become a small globe when Almighty God sends forth his word like a burning fire. I'm telling you, I know men and women that are on fire for God. They live, breathe, and sleep Yahweh. They live and move and have their being for the desire to see Jacob Israel reunited with one stick, where we will no longer be blind and deaf and dumb, because the reuniting of a divided house is the appointed destiny spoken by Almighty God, and the time has come that judgment begins at the house of the temple of those who are anointed to preach and cry out to the people that it's time to return to the old path, to see and ask, to search, to get on the telephone, to preach it on the air, to sing it in a song, get everybody ready. It's time to come home. Ladies and gentlemen, the table is spread. The invitations are being sent out through the gospel for the lost sheep of the house of Israel return to the fold. Tonight, as a shepherd of the sheep, I command every evil spirit to stand down and to get back and to open the way for those who are blind, for those who are dumb, and those who are deaf, to hear the gospel, to see the gospel, to feel the gospel, to know the gospel, because he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, my God, I call on the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of our Creator. Father, every heart, every trembling heart, under the sound of my voice tonight, may their souls be knitted together in oneness. May the two sticks and the two houses divided reunite. May those that falsely accuse, and may those that murmur, and those that complain, may their carcass fall in the wilderness, because it's time for the blind, deaf, and dumb house of Israel to return back to the land of milk and honey, back to the spiritual presence of Almighty God, to reclaim that which the caterpillar has destroyed. Oh, my God, if you could see what has happened to this great nation, where we have sat idly by without commanding these unclean spirits to leave the land. I call right now in the spirit of the Almighty for all of the unclean spirits, both in government and out, every unclean spirit, every foul spirit, to obey the will of God and to bow the knee in submission to the plan of God. This plan is a divine preposition plan that will come to pass in the last days. I will pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel. And as the dry bones of Ezekiel, there shall life come to these dry, dumb, and blind bones that have nothing but death written upon them. May that death now leave them. May the power of the Almighty God come upon the dry bones of the house of Israel. May there be a great shaking as a wind blowing in the reeds on the riverbank. May the rivers of water of life fill the hearts and the minds of blind, dumb Jacob Israel. May forever the induction of the holy Shekinah move upon their hearts and souls and unite them to one common cause, that there would be one house and one shepherd with the one stick within his hand. The fighting and the infighting and the factions and the disassembled spirit of Jacob Israel, the murmuring and the complaining, may it cease out of the house. May we have men like Yahshua and Caleb. May they be men that will take the mountain and expel the giants of the land. He said, Pastor Buddy, this nation is too far gone to recover. Ladies and gentlemen, I read the last book of the chapter, and somehow, some way, and somewhere, someone will raise up in the last days and turn Jacob from his ungodliness. Oh, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, we're having more Christian revivals than any time since the beginning of time. That's true. But ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that the revivals of the Bear Box churches have only intensified sin and division and corruption, because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They will not return to the basic principles of covenant. The Brit of the sons of Ish needs to be established. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all of the house of Israel, and they shall prophesy and come to life. I call for life in the house of Israel. I call for a renewing. I call for the ceasing of the pursuit of gain, of the materials that Satan has tempted the children of Israel to pursue these vain things, because the Bible says that God does not respect the abundance of the things a man has, but he only has respect to them that love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. A purpose, a dedication, a loyalty that needs to grow up, integrity, preaching the gospel, witnessing to souls, to try to put the healing balm of Gilead in the wounds of blind Samson grinding at the nail. As Samson was blinded, so was Israel. But Samson regained his strength. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, he committed suicide and he never recovered. Christ made this startling statement. That was an example for those who take the path of foolish, blind Samson. You see where you end up. He was proud. He was a mighty man. Israel at one time was a mighty nation and had the God of Jacob on her side. Then they went a-whoring after other gods, and God gave them up to a reprobated mind. In his jealousy, in his hot wrath, he rebuked them, but is now calling on them in consolatory spiritual notes, singing the song of Zion. We shall overcome. We shall march in. We shall take the kingdom. We shall possess it, because the Bible said, in the end, blind, dumb, and lost Samson will be healed of his blindness. Remember, Samson brought the temple not only down on himself, but he also brought it down and destroyed the princes of the Philistines. Ladies and gentlemen, this time Samson will live to rejoice of his recovery, of his blindness. No longer will we sell out for a piece of bread. No longer will we let the whorish temptations of Satan draw us away to worship other gods. We shall proclaim his name from sea to shining sea. We shall bow the knee and call upon him. And the Bible says, in that day, when you find yourself in a far country, if you repent, if you will humble yourself, if you will pray, if you will seek my face, I will pronounce upon you the acceptance of my children. I will once again proclaim unto you, if you forsake your wicked ways, that you're my children, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. And as the shepherd seeketh his sheep, and as the fisherman fish for the fish, Pastor Buddy is calling you tonight. Renounce your riches. Renounce your pursuit of riches. You can't take it with you, ladies and gentlemen. And they that be rich fall into many temptations, and for the pursuit of the worldly things, in vain they worship me. This gospel of pay, pray, and prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing but satanic. Or you say, oh, but Pastor Buddy, it surely must be God. But look at the miracles. Look at the signs and look at the wonder. Oh, yes. Babylon and Satan standing at the head of the worship of the God of Mammon. You cannot serve the true God and serve Mammon. You've got to separate from the two and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then all these things that the Gentiles, the wicked, the evil, or the corrupt seek after. Israel's going to have to take a little army like Gideon and go against. You're talking about the army of what, Pastor Buddy? I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Just like I have prayed the prayer tonight and loosed blind Israel to regain their sight, for the two houses to be reunited, for them to come together as one, where there shall be one shepherd and one fold, one flock, one cause, one purpose, one name, to proclaim it to all of Jacob Israel. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the apostolic mission of the sons of Ish was not to go out and win the world. God is not interested in winning the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, so he don't want you to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, have no fellowship. And yet we've got people that know the truth that sits in these bell boxes and laps up just because maybe their wife or their husband desires them to sit there or to participate or to have a name in the community or to be somebody. But Pastor Buddy, you know, that little flock of people that believe like you do, well, they're the most hated people and despised. Well, that's what Christ was. The Bible says, you shall be hated. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. You shall be hated of all the people for my name. Now, you can get into Christianity and you can accept their name and you can join any denominational church just as long as you pronounce and profess a certain name. But you bring the magnanimous, the true, the unadulterated, the clean, the pure, the magnanimous. Oh, my heavens, I feel it in my bones right now. The great, powerful name of Yah. When we say hallelujah, when we sing the praises as the denominational church ignorantly worship him, we declare unto you tonight, seeing that he made everything in the world, the earth, the heavens, and everything that's in the heavens, created and spoken into existence by the power of the living word of God, sent forth to accomplish his missions and his purpose. Israel was purposed to be a people scattered. She was never meant to be confined in a little geographical area known as a sandbox. It was just play territory. Almighty God had something big in mind. He had nations in mind for the house of Israel and the 12 sons of Jacob to inherit. The blushing people, the Caucasian race, what a power, what a heritage. What history? Yet we promote other histories and let ours lay at the bottom of the heap. We promote other peoples and despise our own. Because we're caught up in a world trying to agree and to have unity and sing the song in unison as we are the world. We are not the world, and everybody that is of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean. You know who that is? The everyday people that will not acknowledge the God of Jacob Israel. To you, this gospel is sent to you tonight for a uniting of the two houses to bring together the two sticks. And in that one stick will be the birthright son that has the birthright that will rule over the house of Israel. That is the house of Joseph. And the house of Joseph has never been until now the preeminent position with identification of truth and scriptures proving all things. That it was the house of Joseph that the king, the prince, the Messiah, Shiloh, would sit on his throne forever and would rule among the princes and the priests and the prophets and the teachers, being it neither male nor female, in the house of the living Yah. Oh, I feel the anointed I feel the power. I feel the glory. I feel the wondrous things that is coming up on this earth. You say, well, bad times is coming. Good times is coming. They are here now. You see, at the darkest, then the light begins to shine. When you see the great falling away, then the light begins to come. When you see the going get tough, then only shall the tough get going. When you see that we're almost defeated, you will see victory come into sight. When you think that we have gone as far as we can go, and that we can no longer stand, we shall stand. When you think we can't overcome, then shall we overcome. When you think we can't see, then shall you see. When you think that we're dumb and separated from the commonwealth and we'll never have unity and brotherhood, then shall we have it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the spirit that comes from the very mouth of the living God shall anoint the dry bones, the blind bones, and the burn bones, and the separated and the indifferent bones of the murmuring, complaining house of Israel. No longer will we murmur and complain like little wayward children, but we shall have faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The latter rain shall be greater than the former. Today, ladies and gentlemen, my heart is laying plans for the coming revival of Jacob Israel. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, we've been in revival glory at our God since 1903 at the Azusa Street meetings. Ladies and gentlemen, many imitations have come around. Now the real thing, he saved the best wine for last. You might be drinking out of the cistern of denominational systems that only promise you nothing but a rapture in the time of trouble. I promise you that in the time of trouble, there's going to be a capture. There's going to be a warfare. There's going to be soldiers anointed. Blind Israel will take up the sword of the Spirit. For our weapons, as I said, are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds that are to fight against us, to resist us, to chastise us. As Rehoboam said, I will make what my father did to the northern kingdom. I will but make you and chastise you with the whips. And I will hold you between my fingers and I'll squeeze the lifeblood and the taxation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Babylon is taking an example. My children love to be in bondage. They love to be in captivity. But when the time of trouble, when the mourning and when the praying and when the fasting and when the time comes, God will send forth the prophets as a flame of fire. They will call forth the sheep. And there shall be anointing come in the dry bones of the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. There shall be a uniting factor of the Holy Shekinah. Oh, I see a stirring, just like Elijah when he prophesied there'd be rain, when all he saw was a small cloud about the size of a hand in the sky. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see the finger that has wrote the final chapter. I'll see it by faith. I see the house of Israel and the house of Judah coming forth in the spirit to be reunited to the purpose and the intentions that God has forecast and foreknowed and predestinated to happen to the house of Jacob. All of the sons of Jacob shall inherit. The blessing and the charity will exclude none. And the house of Joseph will lead in the last days that reuniting. When Joseph saw his vision, when he told the brothers his dream, that all of the other shocks of wheat in the field would bow to him. Reluctantly, you may do it, but do it you will, or you shall perish. For the time has come that men will now begin to hear the gospel and endure sound doctrine. The time in the past has gone. It's a new day. There's a new day of dawn, and let us welcome the day. There's a new love flowing, and Yahweh is the way. Oh my, what wondrous love, what glorious purpose, what royal priesthood promises to the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy speaking to you tonight live on WWCR around the world, calling for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For you that have the light, for you that know the truth, pray. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Separate yourself from ignorance, fear, and superstition. Let every man that has a wife be as though he had none. Let every wife that has a husband be as though she had none. Let us be about our Father's business, and let us run the race with patience, for there is a reward to them that love and serve him and are called according to his purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new website we'd like to introduce you to tonight. This new website that we have is still under construction, but we invite you to go there. There's enough information there already to hold you for a long time. That's Pastor Buddy, www.pastorbuddy.net. Tune in and check us out on the web around the world. You can have access to it around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, my mailing address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's N-E-W, T as in Tom, A as in Alpha, Z as in Zebra, W as in William, E as in Earl, L as in Live, Live, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. 37824. My telephone number again, Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. I'm standing by for your call tonight. We've been busy on the phone all day, and we appreciate everyone that's called and contacted us. Got a brother in Michigan without fail, when he can get access to a phone, right before the broadcast, calls me up every Sunday night and has a personal prayer for the welfare of the gospel as to go out to the lost sheep. If that's what it's all about. I have tithers and supporters that faithfully send. Sometimes it hurts, but they send, and they support the shepherd's ministry. Why? Because we're trying to reunite the two houses. I've got to get out. The old clock on the wall has caught up with me tonight. As usual, it has come too fast because I was just getting anointed to preach the gospel for the reuniting of the two houses of Jacob. His sons split. They were purposely blinded. They were purposely to exhibit the dumbness of a sheep. Long have we struggled, and long have we strived, and long have we suffered for being servitude subjects to the kingdom of Babylon. But the day will come that we will rise up and take the kingdom and overcome and be kings and priests, forever reunited with our Father's purpose and intention, that we can have a place, a new heaven, and a new earth. If you'd like to read that, Isaiah 66, chapter 66, verse 22 and 23. Wonderful promises, ladies and gentlemen, that we have forward to look to. So shout and look up. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Pastor Buddy, I'll see you next Sunday night on WCR 507 with the Shepherd's Call around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Until then, may y'all bless you. And all hearts can now unite two arms, that's the flag of victory, hurrah, hurrah, for England we take our stand, but I forget to I can say the two arms, two arms, two arms, and they say,